Hey, good afternoon, and here we are on a beautiful Friday afternoon down in Ultralights. The Fun Fly Zone is the new name of this area, and we are promoting the funnest of fun flying down on the south end of the airport down here. And sitting here with me is Tim Bogenhagen, and Tim is the Ultralight Light Plane Community Manager for EAA, also the staff liaison to the Fun Fly Zone. Hello.
Hello, Jeff. Thank you for the invite to be part of your radio program, and welcome to the Fun Fly Zone.
Well, thank you for hosting us. We always love to come down here. And you've got all kinds of new signage. You've got all kinds of new little cart paths and things going on. And I know that road's not brand new, but it sure does make it nice when things are a little soggy, huh?
Oh, it really does, yeah. EAA Marketing's been busy this year trying to help us rebrand the area into the Fun Fly Zone to help people understand that down here on the south end of the field, like you said, is the funnest of all fun flying.
And tell me a little bit about what you've got going on down here this year that may be new or different or exciting.
Cool. Yeah, we got a lot going on down here. The Fun Fly Zone, of course, is the home to ultralights and light planes and light sport aircraft, home-built rotorcraft, including helicopters, gyroplanes. We also have hot air balloons down here doing tethers in the morning. This morning they were set up and we had two of them in front of the ultralight barn, tethered up in the air, I think 2 hours. It's just an ideal morning this morning because the wind is down compared to what we have been having the last couple of days. So it's been a great morning so far down here, down in the Fun Fly Zone. The rotorcraft are flying right now.
Well, I notice they're always flying when I'm down here for some reason.
Well, you come in the afternoons, and from 11:30 to 1:30 is when the rotorcraft use the grass runway down here, down at the south end of the Fun Fly Zone, and have fun flying in the pattern.
What do we have flying over there today, Tim?
Oh, they got safari helicopters, mosquito helicopters, autogyro gyroplanes, MTO gyroplanes, a number of different aircraft. I even think I saw a couple Robinsons over there.
Oh, wow. And, of course, they bring them in on trailers normally.
Yeah.
Set them up out here and fly them in the mid portion of the day when sometimes maybe it's a little too windy for some of the other ultralights to fly, right?
Yeah, it's a good time during the middle of the day because those rotorcraft can really handle winds that other light planes would not be as comfortable to fly in. They have a great turnout this year. They got like 40 aircraft here, which
no
is just
kidding.
A banner year, yeah.
40 helicopters.
Yeah, helicopters
rotorcraft.
And gyroplanes, yeah,
wow.
Rotorcraft.
That is a lot.
It's a good turnout, yeah.
That's great. What else is new this year down here?
Well, you know, we got, of course, like you mentioned, the road going through the area. It's the second year for the road. It really has helped to clean up our area. Yesterday, we probably had an inch of rain out here. A little bit of hail, even. I was standing right underneath the porch here, and we had, like, pea-sized hail around us.
We were worried about some of the metal airplanes, depending on the size of the hail. But some of it was pretty big.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
fabric airplanes are probably okay, and the ultralights are probably typically okay.
Yeah, yeah. I think we fared okay down here. I haven't heard of any damaged aircraft.
No, I think it was okay.
So we got a neat thing down here. You asked what's new. One thing that's new down here is Blackhawk paramotors, which is the backpack powered paraglider. A company called Blackhawk brought an electric powered paraglider down here.
Oh, this is a new boost in a direction that a lot of aviation is going with the whole electric thing. Tell us about it. What's special about this thing?
Oh, well, the neat thing about electric is it's really smooth, of course, and quiet. So, you know, the backpacks, they're basically got the engine on the back. So I think having a nice, smooth running, quiet engine to power the propeller is welcomed by the pilot flying that aircraft.
Now, I suppose the limiting factor here is battery technology, because it seems if you're carrying something on your back, carrying around heavy batteries isn't going to work.
Yeah, you got that right. And, you know, it's one of those things where the more weight you carry in batteries, the bigger motor you need to develop more thrust to overcome that weight. So you got to kind of play that game. And I guess the question is, how long do you want to fly for? What duration of flight are you looking for? And that'll kind of dictate how much battery weight you carry.
Yeah. So how long does this Blackhawk fly?
I think it's a good 1 hour flight.
Oh, and you know, for recreational stuff and practice proficiency, that's perfect. That's fine.
Oh, for flying a PPG, that's perfect. I mean, because in reality, they're probably out there flying for 30 minutes, you know, and then landing.
I wonder what the recharge time on something like that would be.
2 hours.
2 hours, that's not bad. So for every 1 hour, you charge for two, and you're going again. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. I imagine they probably have extra battery packs, too, where you could have one charged waiting, and then you could just swap it out.
Well, I look forward to seeing that. And all of these things that we're talking about, you have a demonstration area here in the Fun Fly Zone with your vendors and everything, and people can just come down on the tram and go right into your vendor area and check out all this stuff.
Yep, we got a nice exhibit area. Actually, this year the exhibit area is full and actually overflowing. Hmm. We had to create 4 new exhibit spots, which weren't originally planned for, because we sold out all 34 commercial exhibit spots about 3 weeks ago.
No kidding.
Yeah, so we're actually 4 over, so it's a great year for exhibitors turnout down here down the Fun Fly Zone.
Well, that's positive. That's positive news.
Extremely positive.
And, you know, we're hearing that in most all of the venues where we go. We're hearing that the people numbers are up, and obviously that's translating down here as well. That's great.
Yeah, we've had a good turnout of planes so far, too. You can see looking out here in front of the Ultralight Barn, we got a number of Ultralights out there. We got a couple light sports. We got a weight shift control aircraft. You know, we just have such a nice representation. That little yellow and black one is a Casper wing, which, you know, that thing's like 30 years old. That's an antique Ultralight. I'm still flying it today. Weight shift, just a lot of fun.
That is really cool. Well, tell us, remind the listeners, what is considered an ultralight light plane?
Great. Okay. Two different things. Let's first talk about ultralights. Ultralights are limited to the maximum weight, the maximum fuel, and the maximum speed. They're limited to 254 pounds maximum empty weight. They're limited to one seat. They're limited to a maximum of 5 gallons fuel capacity. They're limited to 63 mile an hour top speed and 27 mile per hour top stall speed. They're not allowed to have an N number, or are they allowed to have an airworthiness certificate. They are considered a vehicle by the Federal Aviation Regulation Part 103. By calling them a vehicle and not an aircraft, this regulation does not require a pilot certificate, a medical certificate, or the registration or certification of the vehicle.
Okay, so if somebody decides they want to get into ultralights and they go out and they buy Neighbor Bob's ultralight, there is an avenue though for them to safely learn how to operate that vehicle, right?
Training is highly recommended for someone before they just try and fly an ultralight on their own. That's not a good idea to try and do that. If you're interested in wanting to get an ultralight and get into flying ultralights, which I highly encourage because it is a lot of fun and it's a very affordable way to get in the air, seeking out a qualified flight instructor, flying in a two-place registered aircraft, which would be similar in flight characteristics to an ultralight, is the best thing to do to ensure that you can gain the proper knowledge and flight proficiency to be able to safely fly an ultralight vehicle.
Mm-hmm. And of course, that's commonly available just about everywhere in the States, right?
Well, I wouldn't call it commonly available. No, actually, that's one of the challenges our community face right now.
Oh.
Since the Sport Pilot Light Sport Aircraft rules came into being 10 years ago, we've actually had a severe decline in two-place aircraft, which are like an ultralight and have performance characteristics like an ultralight. So there's actually a challenge right now for people to find aircraft which fly like ultralight that are two seats and allowed to be used for flight training for somebody. So it's one thing that EAA is actually working on in our government advocacy area, because we want to try and get some FAA policy changed to allow an opportunity for individual people to use these types of aircraft for compensated flight training. So somebody who wants to get into flying an ultralight has somebody to go to.
Sounds like a good movement.
Absolutely. I mean,
it sounds like a good idea. It sounds like it'll promote safety.
Flight training is key to everything in our community. In all of aviation, flight training is so critical to not only promote the sport and get new people in, but the people that are here, obviously, we need continuous training to maintain safety and proficiency.
Sure. Hey, Tim, we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about the light plane versus the ultralight.
How's that sound? Sounds good. Thank you, Jim.
All right, Jay Monchi, we're on the fly, and we're down at the Fun Fly Zone, which is down on the south end of Air Venture, the ultralights area. You're listening to EAA Radio.